I imagine that probably most every American older than about 75 can still remember where they were on December 7th, 1941, when the Empire of Japan attacked the American naval fleet at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, and thereby bringing the United States directly into World War II. And most Americans older than 60, and I'm in that category, will remember exactly where they were on November 27th, 1963, when President Kennedy was assassinated. Also, where we were when we learned of the assassinations of Dr. Martin Luther King and Senator Bobby Kennedy in 1968. For me, the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King in April of 1968, that actually sparked the first time I ever participated in a street demonstration, which was that evening a candlelight walk through the center of our college town in California. And if you're older than 16 or 18, of course, you remember September 11th, 2001, when terrorists attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, killing thousands of innocent people. And in all those events, we saw not simply tragedy, but the face of real evil. And so at this Mass, we remember especially, we pray for all those who lost their lives on 9/11, their families. Certainly we remember in our prayers members of our armed forces who are continuing to defend us in the war on terror. We pray for an end to terrorism and war. We ask God's help, His grace, to help us in our efforts to actually preserve the existence of the United States of America. A lot has changed in 10 years. One of the things that maybe many of you have noticed in the media, that in New York, that in the official ceremonies of commemoration, no prayers, no clergy are allowed, which is very odd in our country, where faith has never before been banned from the public square. We've also seen this year the killing of Osama bin Laden, who was the mastermind behind the events of 9/11. And yet, we find ourselves this morning being given a gospel on forgiveness. How is it that you and I realistically are expected to forgive people like bin Laden and his terrorist agents for the horrible atrocities that they've carried out against innocent people? And certainly, we have to remember that bringing terrorists to justice, defending human lives going forward, that is in no way inconsistent with Jesus' command that we forgive our enemies. Justice and the defense of our nation are not the same as revenge and hate. But are we really expected to forgive them, to be totally merciful toward them, as Jesus instructed us in his Sermon on the Mount? Mercy obviously goes against our fallen human nature. For you and me, there are very definite limits to our mercy and forgiveness on a natural level. Limits certainly in our ability to forgive those who directly harm us. And most of the time, we find ourselves needing to forgive not someone far away, but people who are very close to us, maybe even within our own families. But whether the wrong done to us is large or small, whether it comes from family members or from strangers, as Christians, we are required to forgive people even like bin Laden. Jesus tells us we must forgive those who've hurt us not once or even seven times, but 77 times. In other words, every time. He also tells us that we are forgiven by God if we will forgive others from the heart. And this really seems practically impossible, again, taking into account how weak our human nature is, how liable we are to get caught up in burning, self-centered resentment. And why is Jesus making this kind of demand on you and me? Well, first of all, by forgiving others, we are imitating our Heavenly Father. Jesus, who is the perfect icon of God the Father, from the cross forgave those who beat him and crucified him. And you and I must do the works of God. We must act like him if we are to be truly his children in truth as well as in deed. And secondly, we should forgive those who have hurt us so that we can experience our own inner healing. As a practical matter, we've got to recognize that forgiveness is a matter of our own spiritual and psychological well-being. I mean, forgiveness is a matter of our own happiness. A disposition toward unforgiveness, a tendency to dwell on either real or imagined hurts, could even bring us eternal unhappiness. The spirit of unforgiveness, it's one of the most dangerous spirits that can overtake us. The spirit of unforgiveness provides a wide opening to Satan in our hearts. But opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit, praying for, simply asking God's blessing on the person who may have offended us, hurt us, allows the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, where he can free us from hatred and resentment. Jesus died for you and me to give us real freedom. He does not want us to be burdened by and to wallow in self-destructive feelings of anger and bitterness. I think that with practice, probably all of us can learn to forgive the little offenses that we encounter almost every day. It's obviously much harder to forgive the big things. Sooner or later, each of us is going to be called to forgive one or more major offenses, maybe even a profoundly deep wound inflicted by someone close to us, by someone we love. Or we could possibly run into a situation in which we ourselves have committed an offense, a sin that's so serious that we cannot forgive ourselves, even if we come to understand that God has forgiven us. And in these cases, it's very hard to follow Christ's command of limitless mercy, but it's not impossible. Now, the theologians teach us correctly that forgiveness is an act of our will. It's not about how we feel. It's a decision to let go of the desire for revenge. It's a decision to release the offender into the hands of God. It's a decision that we make deep in our being, in our hearts. It's a decision that we need God's help. The way I think of it is virtually every day, each of us needs God's help in getting our hearts back in sync with his heart. It's a decision that can even coexist at the same time as our continuing strong emotions of anger and resentment. Happily, Jesus did not command us to like everybody. He only commanded us to love our neighbor, to will everything good for them, most especially eternal life. I was just thinking in my religion class at St. Mary's in the 7th and 8th grade, usually every year I throw out the question, you know, what is our ultimate interest in somebody like Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden or, you know, whatever evil character you can think of? Well, our ultimate interest in them is eternal life. Yes, justice has to be done. Yes, we have to defend ourselves, do what's necessary. But ultimately, as Christians, our ultimate interest in anyone is their eternal life. In other words, the ultimate goodness that God could give them. Remember, our emotions, our festering emotions, are not part of our will. Our emotions are simply our natural reactions to injustice, and we can't always control our emotions. So it's possible to truly forgive someone, to will everything good for them, while at the same time we remain aware that we continue to have very strong feelings against them. And when that happens, we should do our best to counteract those feelings by our prayer for them, asking God's blessing on them, and doing our best to turn our attention away from ourselves, away from our own hurts, towards something more productive, including maybe helping others who may be in some great serious difficulty. Since you and I are weak human beings, some of these hurts and fragile emotions are never going to be completely repaired, even by the end of our lives. But many people manage to get through life quite okay without having entirely resolved or entirely repaired a whole array of psychological and emotional issues, including deep hurts. But you and I, we can hope that over time, God's grace will gradually heal us. God's grace will gradually heal even our emotions. And with the help of God's grace, by our continuing to pray as best we can that our neighbor be blessed by the Lord, in time, our feelings can catch up with our goodwill. Our feelings will catch up with the decision we've made in the depths of our hearts to forgive. And then you and I will truly know the freedom of what it means to be sons and daughters of our merciful and forgiving Lord.